Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am your host, Brady Steffel. I am here with...
your hostess, Annie Larner.
Your hostess.
It kind of sounded like you said it like sort of like mid... what's the word? Middle Eastern. Host.
Oh, did I?
Like, hello.
No offense intended to it. I don't know, man. And we also today have...
Sarah Carullo.
And you are of the... What fame?
I am the proprietor of the Speakeasy here in Longmont.
Very cool.
Recent owner of the historic Imperial Hotel, which the Speakeasy is housed in the basement.
There you go. Now you own the whole building.
Imperial Hotel. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have so many questions. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
I'm also here. Yeah. Asking. I don't know anything about that building or I'm going to learn a lot.
But you know what, Brady? Thanks for being here too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We're back. Sorry we're a little late. We had some colds and whatnot last week. So here we are trying to drop this, although I kind of have a cold now too, but it's fine.
If you give this to me.
Brady, you have super immunity right now.
I just got over one. If I get this from you, I'm going to send you a sternly worded text saying like,
send me your bill for the doctor's note.
What are you doing? Just got over this.
All right. So let's see, man. There's some cool stuff been going on.
What's some cool stuff that's
been going on? We've got a new Thai restaurant. Opening in Longmont. We've got Busaba Thai.
Saw that.
And they're already in, Louisville and Boulder, I think?
Yeah.
And they're coming to Longmont down at...
2343 Clover Basin.
Clover Basin, and what is that, airport? Is
that
that
it's where the old firehouse subs thing used to be, apparently.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nice. That's exciting.
I don't know. I've never had this. People are like, it's coming. And I'm like, I don't know. I just had Anchan this weekend, and it was dope.
Anchan's great.
Super good.
Yeah. Do you like Thai, Sarah?
I love Thai.
Oh, yeah. Where do you like to go?
I only go to the same place.
It's just what?
Which is?
I like Jai Thai.
Jai Thai. In the old sushi.
Jai Thai.
The one on Kenprat near the yoga studio kind of.
Yeah. Used to be Sushi Kaiten.
Right.
With the conveyor belt in there.
Right. Yeah. I miss that.
I miss it too.
But you like their Thai?
It's dope.
I do.
What do you order?
The avocado curry. It's got chicken and shrimp and big pieces of avocado.
Cool.
Really? Nice. Yeah. Yum. Well, welcome Busaba.
Yeah. I had the Thai fried rice. I'm going to go on a little tear.
Yeah, go for it.
We did the Grubhub. I never do like Grubhub. It's such a scam. So we were doing that. It totally is. So we were going to do it because my wife had some like credits. She like got a coupon or something worth $25. And so you start putting stuff in the car. It's like, I don't remember being this expensive when we went there. And then you go and it's like all marked up. And then they're like, oh, and here's the delivery fee. And then here's like... here's the the service fee, and then here's how much you should give in a tip. And we put the $25 on top of this for two people, and we got it back down to still above what we would have paid. We just got to pick it up. So I don't know that I'm going to be using that again.
No, it's
every
ridiculous.
2 years or something.
There you go.
I got a plug real fast. I totally forgot about Manatee on 3rd and Main.
Oh, right. Because they're right across the street, right?
Yes.
I've heard good things, but I've never been. Some of my friends who like that kind of cuisine think that they're great.
I think they're amazing.
What's good to order there?
Basil fried rice.
Oh.
Pineapple fried rice as well.
Pineapple fried rice. The pineapple fried rice at Anchan is very good too.
Yeah. I had the crab fried rice the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that they're, I was whining about Anchan's pad thai noodles. And remember when, what's her name, came on?
Oh,
Naomi came on. Naomi's like, this is amazing food critic in Longmont. And she was saying that pad thai is like one of those things, it's such a family recipe that each restaurant that you go to is going to probably have a totally different recipe for their noodles, depending on how they like grew up or whatever, which I find interesting.
So I loved Anchan. We got it.
Yeah. Did you get the tea?
Not this time. Oh, I have.
They're so pretty.
It's cool. Yeah. It's the blue. It's like the... pea flour, and then it's blue, and then you put the lime in, it turns purple.
Right.
Super cool.
Right.
Yeah. Very mild flavor. I would try it.
Okay. So I've got a bunch more restaurant stuff.
Restaurant time.
Okay. So I've got some more openings and some closings and some rebrandings.
Oh, yeah. The Roots thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you might know about this. Roots, and they're like reopening as the Passenger.
I've been curious. I'm watching.
Yeah. I can't really figure it out.
Can you not?
No, I can't.
There's a restaurant called Roots and there's a restaurant called The Roost, like two blocks away from each other.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. But is it because Roots was very like Indian American cuisine? No, they weren't really Indian, I guess. They did.
I thought they were doing kind of just like,
eclectic.
Yeah, it's pretty eclectic.
Whatever's good from wherever, that's our jam.
But The Passenger is pretty much the same menu, right, from what I can tell. They have a lot of the same stuff, like the same salad and some other.
I don't think it's like an effort to reinvent their like cuisine. Gotcha. I think it's like you go to Google and Mr. Google's like, did you mean the roost? You know, like that type of thing.
You think that's literally what drove it?
I really do.
Funny.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
They actually, people, because you have to order food in at the speakeasy, so people would think they're ordering from across the street.
Oh,
so
geez.
They could just go hop over and get it. And they actually ordered from the roost.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, I think
okay,
that's what
it is. Okay, so that's a rebrand. So that's happening. It's coming up like pretty much right now, I think.
I think you'd want to get that done as soon as possible.
Yeah, so they're going to be called The Passenger, and it's thepassenger.restaurant. Okay, moving on. We have a temporary closing.
Do we?
We'll see how temporary it is. But okay. The coffee shop out at Clover Nelson and Airport called... I'm sorry, my brain.
That's Hover. I'm thinking of the Ziggy's little one.
It's called Q's, isn't it?
Q's. Yeah, I've heard of this too.
They're being closed for not paying their taxes, not paying sales tax.
Yep.
I know. Yep. So Department of Rev will come knock you down. And it's funny because it happened right on the heels of Mateo in Boulder, who has the same thing going on right now. They just got shut down last week for taxes.
Yeah, the scuttlebutt was that they probably weren't coming back.
Right. I haven't heard. It sounds like they just didn't pay it.
Yeah.
And so you don't really come back from that.
Right.
Mateo, I had heard, was like an accounting error with their accounting firm.
Yeah.
And there's a lawsuit in place, but they will come back.
Okay.
Is the word. But those things always take a long time.
That's terrible.
I know. Got to pay your taxes, dude.
Yeah, that's a big Spadudios moment.
It's a bummer for Q's because that's a great coffee shop and people like it. And
yeah,
it has quite the following. So.
Our bike club used to meet out of there on Saturday mornings. And if we're going out on that side, we'd pile up there. And,
nice. Yeah. So, well.
Then after you're done biking, you don't usually go for coffee at like 7 at night. You're like, oh, let's go get a beer at the Slack Mops. But, you know, it's cool.
Right.
It's cool.
So that's sad. hang on. I had more restaurant.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I'll go forward with snow totals. Let's do it. Because it was a bucket of soup out there. Who liked the snow cone we had this weekend?
A bucket of soup.
That's exactly what my daughter said.
God. It was ridiculous. We were down on Pearl Street on Saturday night, and of course nothing was cleared and it was just soup, like you're saying. It was a nightmare. We were all wet. It was just wet.
Sarah, you're from snow country.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, this doesn't happen.
No.
This is the worst snow I've ever had.
That would have been a terrible blizzard.
Oh my God. Because it froze then after. Yeah. And back in the Midwest, because you're from the Illinois-Wisconsin border. I'm from southern Minnesota. It's, you know, same sort of area. And like this back there would have just frozen into a sheet of ice and people just be like, whoa, I'm driving into the lake now.
Yeah, it would have been.
Fortunately, it all sort of sloughed off the car.
It just sloughed. It wasn't even that cold. Like when I was down in Pearl, it was like actually quite balmy outside. But
also Longmont, the LDDA did the
winter
walkabout.
God.
I know. I saw
there
they sold
so
like,
many people.
Were there?
And they That's were good. All wet. It was it, so like wet. Every time I give a hug to somebody, I'm like.
Oh, did you guys host anything?
We did. We had three bands play.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was a great turnout. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, they said they sold almost 1,000 tickets, which I don't know how that compares to previous years, but that's great. Somewhere. I'm so glad it's becoming more popular every year.
It's a lot of fun.
Good.
It's just a hype.
The craziest part was like that it didn't dissipate.
I know.
It was just like this, like standing.
It was
like 1.9 actual inches of just slop.
I know.
And you would step into it and you're like. And I was wearing the same shoes. I got these. They're not quite waterproof, and it just wasn't enough. And I left the house once, and it's like, no.
It's brutal.
This is like the second time since then. It's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm done. So that was the whole thing. 8 inches apparently in Boulder. 1.9.
Oh, they had huge snowflakes. Like, it was so nuts. Yeah. It's all like pretty much melted. I was there today and the roads are clear again. It was
crazy.
It was very like late March snow. It was very weird.
Yeah, I didn't like
that. Okay, I remembered my other rebrand, Canarchy, which runs like Oscar Blues and Cigar Brewing or whatever out of Florida. They have like the three different beer brands under them.
Okay.
Remember they were bought by Monster for like $330 million a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now Canarchy is rebranding as Monster Brewing Co.
Okay.
I don't think they're rebranding the beer brands underneath them, but they wanted everyone to know we own these guys. That's us.
Nice. Yeah, I could see like Canarchy seemed like very much the play on words that.
Sure.
That's kind of their thing.
Right. Yeah. Candade, Canarchy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So that's not really groundbreaking news. My very last one is supposedly we're getting donuts in March.
That's Winchell's.
Winchell's?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the newest ETA, which will change again when we arrive to March. So
there's
how far out will it be?
There's every week, David from the subreddit starts a new like complaints thread, and it's half traffic complaints and like one quarter questions about when and if Winchell's will open. And then it's just like assorted sundry after that, like just your grouses that people have. But it's like, well, I don't think it is. Yeah, somebody threw a car into it. I can't believe it's that bad. Yeah, what happened? Structural damage. Remember? It's like
every single week.
Yeah, every week.
The big question is, how will the community receive them, I wonder, when they come back? Because I feel like the community is like half, we're desperate. Please come back. We miss you so much. And half like really pissed that they've taken this long and keep like holding us out there like at the end of the line. I'm kind of like, I'll feel so well. I'll be like, I will go get donuts, but I'm going to make sure you know that I'm not that happy about this.
What took so long? Like they're, exactly. What they're going to need at Winchell's, this is for you. Like if you're Mr. Winchell, if you're out there, like what you need to do is on the door. Like there's going to be like five things that people are going to ask over and over again. Post. Figure it out. Put it on the door. And then be like, just order and leave. We're going to do like soup Nazi style lineups here because it's going to be around the block. And if it's not around the block, people have been complaining needlessly because people are just like, oh my God, I'm still in withdrawals. I can't believe it lasted this long. I need my Winchell's. Like, it's
that's
like
how
that.
I feel about the fritters, man. Oh, man, it's been dying. Like I'm missing it.
Yeah. So,
are you a donut fan?
I am. But Landline Donuts, like two storefronts over.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hit it up.
Which have you not tried?
Oh, okay. Which one's your favorite?
The buttercream.
Oh.
It's so good.
Really? Yes. I never get that one. I need to do that next time.
So what do you get?
I always get the strawberry.
Yeah, that's on brand.
Sorry.
I could see that for you.
Why? What do you? You don't eat them.
Oh, I can't anymore.
Darn it!
You need to make like
a potato only donut just for because they would really sell that.
Yeah.
Oh right, that one from Trader Joe's or something.
No, there's a place out in Charlottesville where we used to live. It was actually called Spud Nuts, and we would get it, and they were like really pillowy. They were nice, lovely donuts. They probably throw some flour there to bind it together anyway. But I can't eat them. I would eat them. I'm not above a donut. I love a donut. I used to eat three donuts for lunch. Well, when I was a kid, my metabolism was screaming. And so I just eat whatever, you know, 135 pounds when I graduated high school, 6 foot tall and 135 pounds, like eating donuts for lunch. Let's go. So I would have like apple fritter, you know, that was a good one. And a Danish. That's a good one. Cake donuts, though. One of the things I do miss is like an old fashioned donut glazed from a gas station and a cup of garbage coffee. It used to be one of my staples because I'd be like, oh, got to drive to the Twin Cities or whatever. And like you get in the car for an hour and a half and you do that. And then the coffee would hit like an hour and 15 minutes like before you're half an hour away from wherever you're going. You're like, oh, God, got to drive faster. You know?
Do this job. Hey, you know, speaking of healthier options, have you hit up the Wonder yet? Wonder Press?
No, I haven't.
Dude, it is so good.
Is it good?
What? Oh. The juice bar that went over at 11th and Francis there.
Oh, yeah.
And you get the juice. You just saw like the bottles. Yeah, I have. And then there's the shots that are like amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kick in the pants. And in fact, that's exactly where I should go today is go get a couple shots of those with the ginger and all the turmeric and stuff like for immune boost. But oh my gosh, it's really good.
Yeah. I believe you. I do.
I'm just surprised you haven't been.
No, well, my wife is like, I think she's like, I can make healthier stuff.
Right,
that's good.
Right. Except
she's like super into that.
But they do the cold press. Like it's a pretty techie.
Yeah, but my wife's like, I'm great in apple. You get the whole thing. And we're not just doing it. We get the whole thing. And it's just like, she makes good stuff. And it's like, we're telling Sarah, if it's there, I'm going to eat it.
Right.
If it's in the house, I'm just like, take that and walk away. ADHD flares up. I'm like, I'm hungry. And if it's a bag of chips, it's a bag of chips. But if there's muffins in there that have like carrots in them and apples and stuff, it's like,
I'll eat those.
So, we don't eat out much. So.
No, that's fair enough.
The tattoo place on 2nd and Main and Moving. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah. I kind of figured.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was like pre-planned though that they were going to be there temporarily. Is that right?
No. What happened? No.
No, okay.
They sold their build. The building sold, and then I think, I don't know what kind of a lease was in place, but I think that it was a deal. I'll put it that way. Mm. They had a pretty good deal, and the new owner, I think, negotiated them out. I don't know if they negotiated them out of it or terminated. I don't think, because when it was for sale, it wasn't like that wasn't an option, a lease termination, if you were to buy the building. Like, it came with tenants. So something changed and they are closing and now that space is available.
Yeah, because that place is a little weird. I could definitely see that, like, no more deals here, you know, because it's that area is developing a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it used to be the like a Mercado or whatever, like a Carniceria, and then it's this, and before that. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of been cycling through.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been.
It was a thrift store, too.
Yeah, it was a thrift store.
That's right.
And I remember going like in there going, well, it's all really expensive. Like, I'm not going to.
I know. They're marketing it for like $23 a foot base, which is like, well, it's pretty. That's kind of like pretty high. I mean, I'm a little surprised because it's okay in there. It's not the worst, but I think they're just banking on this location. It's a standalone. It has parking and then good visibility and it's close to South Main Station and all the things now. So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, they are closing.
I could see that lot and those lots just being like scraped and built up.
Yeah.
Totally. So who knows?
We'll see.
Eventually.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 20 years.
Okay. Quick, not correction, but add light to the bags thing. Remember how I was saying I was confused? Because my sister said that she said, it doesn't apply to all stores, the bag rule.
Oh, who's excluded?
Plastic. It relates to how many stores you have, like nationwide, and there's parameters around it. She didn't know exactly what it was, but some stores can still have plastic bags.
Okay.
But like, I would think that the larger grocery anchor type of stores wouldn't because of how many stores they have and the impact overall. And so, they're getting rid of I think they just can't order anymore. So if you're getting bags still at the store, they're just
using them up,
cycling through the ones they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think already. Like if you're at Home Depot, like I don't ever remember to take my bags in there, but then if I'm going to the grocery store, it's like, yep, this is sort of becoming like the culture, the routine.
Yeah, totally.
It's ingrained.
Totally.
So, but if I go in and get like 10 different washers and like a tube of caulk, it's like, you know, I'm already like, should I just stuff this in my pockets till I get to the register? And then it's like, you know, there's an old meme of like some dude holding limes and he's like dropping them. It's like, I can't hold all these limes.
Right.
I feel like that at Home Depot. Right. Man, one of these. And,
And obviously the exception is the produce. I'm like, oh, that's the hack. Just get a bunch of produce bags.
Yeah. It kind of is the hack. No lie.
But they brought back paper bags.
Oh, in lieu of it, that's good.
Almost everywhere has paper bags.
You can't grab dog poo with a paper bag. Really. Oh.
I know. It's not as ideal for cat litter either.
I must have missed the prelude to this conversation.
It's true though. That's what's so nice. It is just about how the plastic bags are going away, and for people who have to pick up dog poop or clean up cat litter, it's like, what do you do?
With two dogs and a cat, I seldom threw plastic bags away. I mean, I did, but they were full of something when I went to the trash can. Now, we're leaning on and those aren't great for cat litter.
Right.
Because you're just like, come on, get.
I know. It's just like, and it like slides out through the cracks and stuff. Yeah.
So then you're like putting the bag in the cat litter box and you're like shoveling and you're like, I'm just pouring cat litter on my hands. This is great. But I'm not going to buy anything if I don't have to. I'm cheap. I'm super cheap. Yeah. It's fine.
We'll go get juice. We'll
wash
support
my hands.
The new juice bar.
Yeah. That's cool. There's. There was a whole thread grousing about the paint. I think we talked about the paint that's now on South Pratt Parkway. Then you come down south over the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, you know, on the thing.
And then there's and it goes into Elgin, whatever you say it, into the Safeway parking lot. And they're like, my God. Like the iron hook doesn't work. Mix things back up. People are so angry. It's like, yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see how it plays out in like a year when everybody knows it's there.
Yeah.
This is it's one of those where you're like, if you don't know if you don't already know and you get there, you're like,
because you have to get to the left and then back around right to turn. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just drive through and people just blow past it. They're like, oh, I'm not doing this.
To say.
So, and it's kind of, somebody else was complaining about the light on Pike and Hover. Mm-hmm. So you're going south and then you're supposed to take a left. You know, if you're in the left lane on Hover and you're going south, you're supposed to take the left. And they're like, I saw a Tesla and then a guy behind me just blew through that. And it's just like, I know. It's honestly, it's not great. So,
Okay. This is a little bit beyond Longmont. Well, I have two things. I have a good feel good thing. And then, whatever. I don't know how feel good it is. There's just a Q article about how a Girl Scout built a little free library at the Veterans Village. And that just kind of warmed my little heart. Hey, it's Girl Scout cookie season.
Is your heart undersized?
It's a little, most days.
It's a genetic thing.
But whenever I bought some Girl Scout cookies yesterday because there was a girl out there hustling. She was on Main Street and it is freezing, right? It's like still snowy and sloppy. And she was out there with a sign at like 11 o'clock on Main Street, like South Main, you know, down there by you know.
Oh, not like one of the good.
No, like in front of one of the like tire stores, like out where it's like there people are going screaming by. Like I was like, girl, I am going to come buy you four boxes of cookies. I stopped in there, and I have like a rule about Girl Scout cookies. I will only buy a direct solicitation from a direct solicitation. Like none of this. I'm emailing you because my daughter is selling Girl Scout cookies. Oh, yeah. If you want to, or like text out to parents, like unless she be hustling on the side of the street or comes to me directly at my door or walks up to me at church. I don't care what it is. You got to ask me directly or I'm not buying your cookies. That's like parent intervening. It's a thing for me.
I'm there with you. And when I was a kid, I had to walk around. Like I had to walk around with the score sheet, get the pledge, get the check. You know, and then walk around with the red flyer wagon 3 months later when the popcorn finally shows up. And you're like, bang, bang, bang. Mr. Spoon, are you home? And like nobody answers me. Like, I don't want to come back three more times, dude. It's popcorn. It's overpriced popcorn.
Dude, that popcorn's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's still good.
Like, no shade on the popcorn. But now he's just like, there was a table outside of the Safeway. The one we were just saying, oh, the traffic patterns. It's like kids out there hustling. It's like, dude, you do not know how easy you have it. I walk for miles. And it was nice weather, you know, usually. Well, I'm not saying, it's uphill in the snow. It's probably uphill one way.
But February is a tough time for season for cookies because you're always like outside somewhere selling. Just it's freezing.
No thanks, man.
I used to sell them in front of the Kmart at 21st and Main.
Yeah. Oh, very
cool. That was our stomping ground.
Jeez. The enterprising young ladies in front of the dispensaries, that's
what I'm saying.
That's the thing. That's you got to get your in
respect,
early.
Smart.
Respect. Because
I like... If I was eating gluten and I went in for a little something, I'd be like, absolutely. Like, future Brady's going to look back on this version of me right now with the clear eye, like the clarity and the foresight. I just like, thank you, man. This is so great. I have a friend who'd come by and wife would be gone hanging out in the middle of a Friday or something. And he was like, we got to clean the house. And we're going to pack tight one, make some sandwiches.
That's right.
And you go sit down, you put it, you get up, whatever, you're gonna watch the movie, put it on.
Cleaning.
You're gonna put on a whatever, and then you start and you sit down, and you're like, whoa, a sandwich.
For the listeners out there, Brady's giving us some like very telling hand gestures.
Yeah, just cigarette-y kind of. It should be using my left hand for the left hand.
I was gonna say it's more the pincher one.
Yeah, the little it's not frequent for me, so I don't need a lot. I just wind up like on Moon Base 2 and I'm like, whoa. Jeez. Oh, I've seen this before. Think that type of thing.
All right, I got one more thing, and then whatever else you want to chime in on. But this is a little beyond Longmont, but it's kind of a nice little city planning minute. So I was at this thing the other day, hearing about the 16th Street Mall in Denver, which is sort of the quasi pedestrian mall in downtown Denver. You can there's a little shuttle bus that goes up and down. You can get off at each thing and they have all these shops and stuff. It's super cute. But in recent years, it's just kind of changed a little bit, but they've been working on revitalizing it, their whole downtown economic development group. And there's a bunch of construction if you go down there right now. That's very annoying, evidently. And the stores, a few have struggled, but, and then of course they dealt with a lot of people on the streets and transients throughout COVID and stuff, but they've been kind of working on a bunch of different strategies on that. Anyway, what they're doing, though, I thought was fascinating, and I wanted to just mention this. They are increasing the sidewalks to be 20 feet wide, and they're increasing the canopy of the trees they're increasing sidewalks, and then they're
20 feet wide?
Yeah, 20 feet wide sidewalks over there so that the businesses can spill out into everything a little bit more and everybody can extend their liquor license. They're deregulating to where you don't have to have railings to have your liquor license on the sidewalk now to make it easier and creating more sidewalk overall. And then they're doing some stuff with the trees that line it where they're digging down into the ground to let their roots dig a little further.
Yeah, sure.
And the idea is that it will increase the canopy by 50%.
That's cool.
Over time, because they'll give them more nutrients or whatever and connect to each other, make them a little bit stronger.
Yeah, they're pretty correlated. How much space
roots have grown up.
But yeah, that's great. And from an urban standpoint, like trees help bring the ambient
temperature. Exactly. So more tree, more sidewalk. The buses, I guess, will still be there, but the shuttles are awesome. I mean, they go from block to block, and it's really easy to move, like, basically from Union Station all the way up to Civic Center. And they also have this really cool app called the Clean and Safe app that I'd love to see instituted in Boulder and Longmont at some point, where you can like, it, as far as like real estate, for example, if you're showing a building to a prospective business or something, you can call ahead and let them know. You can report through the app like, hey, there was a milkshake spilled, or there's a person sleeping in front of, can you, and they have like almost a 30-minute response time, and they'll go to the property ahead of time and either clean it up or eliminate a safety hazard or whatever it is ahead of you coming. And it's not necessarily just for showings, it's for anything. Like any business owner that's like, dude, we got here this morning, it's a disaster out here, can you come clean this up? And and they have like a response team from the city who does this, which I thought was super, super cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah. So hats off to 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver. Definitely like make sure to go check that out here.
Yeah, very soon. I've got legislation. They're saying alcohol to go and delivery could be permanent in Colorado.
Great.
That's coming up.
How do you feel about that, Sarah?
I've never entertained the alcohol to go. Just my establishment personally.
You're like, why? Where would you go? I'm the latest one's open. Stay here.
It just opens another element. There's reasons, I guess. And then that all started during COVID, and I was unable to open for so many months because I didn't have a kitchen. So everybody else was doing to go, and I was doing nothing.
Right.
Mm. So then by the time I opened, I was like, no.
Forget it.
Get in here.
Come see me.
Yeah. The governor helped to open CU Boulder's first Alienware branded gaming lounge in Colorado.
Alienware-branded gaming lounge?
Yeah. Alienware is a type of computer.
It's you're dressed up like aliens.
Yeah. No, yeah, Alienware. You put on your cosplay.
That's exactly what I thought.
I'm a xenomorph, and you're the guy from...
you like mask.
Ask me about the music from Star Wars from the cantina. Ask me what that's called off here. And if you know, don't send it in. I know. It's vulgar. So that's going on. So what else we got? Oh, and I will leave with this. The state drink. I love this. The state drink. I think this is funny. This may not track. The state drink of Colorado is apparently a Colorado bulldog.
What is that?
I don't even know. Look it up. But what I think is funny is the state drink of Nebraska is Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid?
Kool-Aid.
That checks out.
I think Kool-Aid was invented there. But really? But it's mostly just like food dye. Artificial flavoring, and then you put the sugar in.
Yeah.
It's like the best business model in the world.
Oh my gosh. So this is vodka, coffee liqueur, 1 ounce of light cream or milk, and 1 to 2 ounces of cola.
That sounds
terrible.
Being a bar owner, I wanted to jump on and answer that, but I was like, oh my God, if I mess it up.
You should. But you knew the general concept.
I was pretty sure it was just it's a white Russian with a splash of Coke.
That sounds awful.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
They're actually really good, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds actually awesome.
I watched the dude on the Bon Appetit channel, which we get for free on our smart TV. And this is what we happen to watch a lot. Like made a chicken marinade yesterday with like Coke and like buttermilk. And the idea of that together, I'm sure works when you eat it.
Right.
But watching him pour it together, I was just like.
Sounds kind of like a non-alcoholic butter beer if you were to like.
Just.
Heat it up or something.
Anyway.
Well, you did know. You did know. I did. That was good.
She chimed in with that. Oh, one final thing. You can dispose your paint down in the What's It Place down in Boulder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The hazardous...
Not charm, but...
No, it's the hazardous material management facility.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have a video on their website, which is kind of cool how they use it. They pour all of the same colors into a vat and mix it up and put it in new cans.
Brilliant.
That's like it. But what I thought was cool is that when they do that, they're like, yeah, it basically stays the same color from day to day. Like, it just gets so homogenized. They get thousands of gallons of paint.
Wouldn't that just be like gray dishwater color?
No. Well, you take the green.
Oh.
All the greens go together. All the blues go together.
I see.
But the shade of green and the shade of red that you wind up with in the can is like basically the same. I don't know that it's color matched, but they're like, it's basically the same every time.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was nuts. Anyway.
All right. Eco Minute. Sarah, let's talk to you now.
Let's do that.
I have all these questions. Okay, first of all, tell us your background and where you hail from, how long you've been in Longmont, what brought you here?
My background. I moved here December of 97.
Uh-huh.
I was 20. Just age.
Everybody's going. Or you'd be like, my son. This is how my son does math. He plays Monopoly this week. And he had to do like the things and be like, four and a three. You go, one, two, three, four, five, six. And you do it on his like nose. It's so cute. Anyway, sorry.
My previous owner happens to be calling me right now.
Oh.
Weird timing. Okay.
Okay.
So I moved here. I was not intending to stay, but then I started a family and just went all in.
Where'd you move from?
Kenosha, Wisconsin, born and raised.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying somewhere cold.
Midwest.
My goodness. Yeah. And do you like the winters here better?
Do. Yes. Yes.
Jeez, that's a softballer.
Yeah. We start soft here.
The sun is beautiful here in Colorado.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then you started the speakeasy at some point, right? Tell us how that all came about.
Maybe give the listeners
a reminder where it is. I think everybody knows, but.
Like I said, I started with my family, and then I did in-home daycare so I could stay home and raise all these kids that just kept coming. Did that, and then
how many kids do you have?
Six.
Whoa!
they keep coming.
Okay. I had four kids by 24. I was like,
oh my goodness!
So I ran an in-home daycare. I loved it. I absolutely loved that. And then when those kids all went to school, I was like, okay, I don't have friends. I didn't go to school here. Like, I need to step out into the real world. So I went and got a job at the Dickens Opera House, which was at the time called Shorty's. And that's where I started in the business. So then from there, I worked at the Rocky Mountain Saloon.
Wait a minute. Shorty's Barbecue?
Yeah.
Shorty's that had the peanuts on the floor?
No.
Wasn't there a place called Shorty's that had peanuts on the floor? Well, maybe they didn't have peanuts on the floor. Do you guys remember? It's just a little serendipitous because I was just talking with someone about Shorty's in Longmont that I remember going to growing up, and I couldn't quite remember where it was. But
like,
I didn't
like shells, not like they just came in with jars of like planters and.
No.
There you go. Bring your dog.
Or you take your shells and throw them on the floor. That's what I mean.
Maybe they had a previous location. I started there. I don't know how long they were there. What they did prior.
Interesting.
But I worked at the Rocky Mountain Saloon also.
Okay.
And they did that there.
Oh, funny. Where was that?
On I-25 and 66.
Okay. Okay.
It's out there off the highway.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that was really interesting. That opened my eyes to a whole lot of things.
I've been to those kinds of places.
I called it the heartbeat of America because you never know who was coming through the door. You're off the highway. So the most random, the most eclectic, every facet of life just strolls through that door for a beer.
I've been punched in the face at a place like that.
Okay, so you worked at Dickens.
Dickens there, and then I opened Threes, and then...
You opened Threes?
I did. That was my first idea.
Wait a minute. You opened Threes?
Threes was my idea. I worked for the man who owns it at the Rocky Mountain Saloon. My buddy came out here from Chicago, and I always was working at the Dickens, and I'd look at it for sale all the time. I'm like, I want my own place, because I got fired from the Dickens shortly after I first started working there.
There's a story there. You don't want to tell it.
There's a story there.
Yeah.
I guess I attracted the wrong clientele.
Okay.
You're like, I'm going to go start Threes.
No, but Threes was not.
Yeah.
Threes has changed. It's evolved into what it is.
It's changed. You were bringing in the high class, the high dollar, and they're like, no, we want a certain clientele. We don't want this upscale highbrow.
So I think what happened at the Opera House was I didn't know anybody. So to me, Longmont is a very small town feel. And this was in 2006. So not having gone to school here, I did home daycare for 10 years. Like my world was very my home and whatever I had to do to go do what I had to do. So everybody that came through the door was brand new to me. So I just treated everybody. And I guess there was a lot of people with reputations or there were – so I don't know. I got fired.
So Skeezy Steve walks in and you're like, hey, how's it going, man? And like, God, you got to tell this guy to leave. And like, nice, seems nice.
It was just learning people and there was a lot of clicks. I don't know. It was weird. Okay.
Interesting.
It was different.
Okay. So you left that and you started Threes. And what was the concept? What described Threes when it started?
So it was my buddy and he ended up becoming friends with Winslow, the man that I work for. And they're both kind of bikers. Like, Wenzel's not really a biker, but he's just – that's his bar out there. I don't – Wenzel, you can't explain him. I love him. Love him. But businessman. So we brought the idea to him, and it was us – he matched our down payment, our money. We kind of went in 50-50 and did the work, got it going. It was perfect. It taught me how to do what it is that I ended up doing. Mm-hmm. 2 years later with the speakeasy.
A little on-the-job training for the thing that you wanted to do for yourself.
It really was. It gave me the confidence to know that I can do this.
I would say, like, if you can wade through six kids plus however many, you can probably handle that.
What's harder, raising six kids or running a speakeasy?
Oh, it's the same. I joke around. I say that God prepared me for running a bar. He kept me doing everything all day.
That's me. I'm going like, well.
Toddlers.
Yeah, people in there like deliberately losing self-control, you know, that type of. Like, yeah, my inhibitions are dropping. I've been there. I've been that person. I'm not saying.
Dysfunctional adults.
Yeah, like I'm not saying, I'm not passing judgment. I've been that guy. Like, oh, yeah, I'll go in. It's noon. I'm on vacation. Whatever. Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay.
Day drinking.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well then, you know, it gets weird. So I worked in a preschool. And I'll tell you.
Very similar,
it's
right?
A similar type of weird.
Like I said, I started having kids right away. And at 24, I was with four kids all of a sudden. I was like, what am I doing? Most people who sign up for parenting classes are court ordered. I went voluntarily. I was like, please, somebody help me. And the first thing the guy said, it was an amazing course.
Oh, like you went
course.
To a parenting class?
I totally did. Yes. I needed some guidance. There's no handbook. And the first thing the guy said is he said, first of all, I'm here to enlighten you to the fact that you are not parents. Like, what? He said, you are wild animal trainers.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I took that same – it applies.
Uh-huh. It applies to running bars. Okay. So 2 years into threes, you saw this other place and you wanted out to go do a new thing?
So it was a series of, it was unfortunate. Series of, how do they say, unfortunate
series
circumstances?
Of unfortunate. Series yeah. of, yeah. Let me snick it.
My dad passed away in 07, then my mom passed away in 2011. Mm. And because of that, I had a little chunk of inheritance. And I learned from my dad passing first, like, don't do anything for a year. Like, I was a train wreck. It was a really difficult time. And so then when my mom passed, I was like, okay, I've only dreamt in like now in hindsight and just knowing money in a different way now, like it really wasn't a whole lot, but I held on to it for a while. And then some lady came in and I wish I knew who this woman was. And she was going to do a skateboard shop down there. And she had like penciled drawings and she was just so full of vision and just enthusiastic about this shop she was going to do. I was like, man,
good, I better buy that place out from
no,
there.
No, I still at this point was not even contemplating. I was holding on to these checks thinking like not knowing what I was going to do because I knew if I cashed them, I was probably going to do immature things like buy the escalator I always wanted or go on these vacations. And then it just – that skateboard shop never opened. And one day I was driving by and I was like, I'm going to call. So I called on it and took the little tour of the building, and I was like, this is what we're doing. I'm going to do it.
Bring your bottles. It's yours.
So we did it. We remodeled it. It took 6 months. We opened January of 2013. Mm-hmm. Celebrated our 10 years last January.
Wow.
That's crazy because I moved here in 13, and I like the vibe I got was that place was just like an establishment that had been here forever.
I know because wasn't there something there – before that had the Cheers awning, but it was on the other side, maybe?
No, both sides. Both speakeasy awnings were red awnings that said Cheers. And then it was painted and said The Well because it was vacant for 2 years prior to me having gotten it. And then it was a nonprofit Christian organization for 7 years called The Well. Mm-hmm. And then prior to them was Cheers, which was like 20 years standing.
That's it. Okay, interesting.
Which is really cool because it was a female owner, Sandy. I actually got to meet her last year. She came in to the speakeasy with a whole group of people, and I felt like I was like meeting a celebrity. I was so excited.
That's awesome. So
I've heard so much about her and just being in that space for as many years as I have. And
what was her name? Sandy?
Sandy. Hmm. I can't think of her last name.
And she ran Cheers?
She did. She owned it, ran it.
Wow.
Female entrepreneur.
I'm assuming it's like Sandy Bottom. Bottoms.
I don't get it.
SpongeBob.
Oh,
is yeah, that, it's a butt joke.
Oh.
Just didn't follow that.
Oh, I thought it was a SpongeBob.
I'm sure others out there did.
Is that a SpongeBob? You've seen a lot more kids' cartoons, I'm sure, than I have in the last 20 years. Not that I'm above that either. I'll tell you that right now.
Brady, I'm just now seeing you're wearing a Lego sweatshirt.
Yeah. Like this?
This is amazing. I'm taking a picture of this.
Take it, yeah.
My son would love this.
No, this, like, I found this. My brother likes bright primary color stuff. And he, so the sleeve, it's, what's the, there's a term for like this type of, I can't think of what it is. It's like.
Hoodie?
No, it's a hoodie, but like the color scheme, the, from the elbow down on the left arm, it's red. From the elbow down on the right arm, it's blue. The shoulder on that arm is yellow. The other shoulder is blue. Like, it's white and black. It's very bold, very color blocked.
Looks like a Lego.
And it has, I mean, it literally has Lego, like a Lego platform. I could stick a man on this. Like, it's got it's a little, you have a dude just like,
you should.
Might fall off. It's a little rubbery. But there's a term for this, and it reminds me when I was a little boy. And, like, this was, like, the color range when I was, like, 5 years old or sweet. Whatever, you know, it's like bright primary colors blocked off and stuff. And I saw it at Marshall's of all places. And I told my brother he should get it because he likes like super bold.
Right.
And he's like, I'll wear red and red. I don't care. And like sometimes I'll do it just – and he knows. Like I don't think I'm calling him out here, but he knows. Like he'll wear two different shades of red and it's like, Jan, what are you doing? Like, I do not care. They're both blue. I like it. Leave me alone. So I'll do that. Sometimes I'll put on like pink shorts and like – like a different, like a, and my wife's like, oh, you look like your brother tonight. It's just like, ugh. And, but you know, it's all good fun. But like, this is the type of thing. So I said, you should buy this. And he's like, he holds it up to his wife. And his wife was like, oh, no, I don't, no, no. And I said, I'm taking it home. This is mine.
Sweet.
And I love it. And I work with some people who are low vision. And the my boss is like, I love that sweatshirt. Cause I can, like, it's very plain for me to see what it is. It's so bold. Like it's like I get to experience it in a like bright vibrant. So
it suits you.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. So you bought Speakeasy, you opened it. 2013. I know.
Sorry.
This is how we are. You bought the Speakeasy or you opened the Speakeasy and now you've been in business 10 years. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I'll always know when you open because it's when I got married. So you we'll see who outlasts each other, my marriage or the Speakeasy. Hopefully my marriage. I'm supposed to say that. Anyway.
And he's like, yeah, I guess my marriage would be great.
No, you're like, awkward. No, it's fine. Okay. So now you have the next evolution. Please tell us what you've done recently.
Okay.
Okay.
It's so much. I don't even know how to hurry up and shorten it. So I actually signed June of 2023. So June 1st, I am now the owner of the Imperial Hotel.
Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy. It's been, I learned the term imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, yeah. That's 100% real.
Yeah, it took me a while to become like boss lady for the Speakeasy. For the longest, I'm like, no, no, I'm just, you know, yeah, I own it. And I'd tell everybody, shh, don't tell anybody.
Again, with the kids, I thought you would have known this. Like when I first started working in a preschool, they're like, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then all of a sudden one day you walk in and somebody's dumping like Concord grape juice on the floor. And you're like, that's it. Mr. Nice Guy's done. I'm the king here. You know, I would have figured – like with six kids plus the others, you'd have been like, nope, I learned my lesson. Boss.
No, you know, one of the reasons I really was so dead set on owning my own business was because like the one time, that one reference I'd said of me getting fired, but I had been fired quite a few times. And I felt like every time I got fired, it was under like, what? That is not who I am. They have me so misunderstood and... Maybe I just
didn't fit into the small town.
Yeah, you did make your own job. It's just
like it's a click here.
I don't know. I just really was like, okay, I'm going to be the boss that I always wanted.
Yeah,
and
cool.
So it's definitely something you have to maintain those boundaries of I'm the boss, you know, employer, employee. Mm-hmm. But then you really want a nice work environment, and I think that is what we have strived to really. Fine tune, really. We're a team, and I love my team. And without them, I wouldn't be me. And moving forward, everything that I'm doing, like it takes a community.
Yep.
And that's how I see this whole thing. There's no way Sarah's in here just doing all this. Like that's ridiculous. It's my team.
It's your people.
Yeah.
So the Imperial Hotel is, and I think probably everybody's quite curious. You can like walk in, right? Mm-hmm. Does it include JavaStop?
Okay, so I'll break it down for you.
Yeah, okay, because there's a bunch of things.
Even buying it, I was like, I kind of just bought it sight unseen. I was there 10 yeah. years.
Yeah.
I never saw any of the apartments on the upstairs. Or, you know, most people don't realize there was a shop and it's got a white storefront. It was the Primitive Country Loft
right,
House.
That's part of it,
also
right?
included in the building. Yeah. Yeah. So when you come in the foyer area.
And this is right on the hard corner of 13th Main, right?
So rewind. Yep.
Yep.
1880, Longmont was founded about 10 years before that. It was some wealthy men from Chicago, and they came out here with the intent to make a Chicago in the West, which is really mm-hmm. pretty interesting.
The new Chicago colony. Yes. Yep.
So the Imperial was one of the founding buildings. It was the hotel, right? And the train came down through 1st and Main. I found some photos. Some real estate company went out of business, and they had all these incredible photos of like those eras. And I have them. I can't wait to post them all throughout the building. But I mean, it's crazy what was going on and the amount of people that were passing through here in the 1800s. So the Imperial was the hotel, 66 rooms, three floors, second floor, third floor were the rooms. I think maybe the first floor, there might have been some suites just by learning the layout of the land doing this remodel. But it's changed over throughout history. There were blueprints that were burned in the city hall, which is very similar to Chicago's actual story.
Funny. A lot of those bad fires. 1910, yeah. That one?
I don't know the exact date. So like most of my information I get is more from the museum than from what I found prior to. So 66 rooms, very small rooms, little twin size bed with a nightstand and water basin. Like they didn't have
simple.
Their, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first floor you walk in, it's the foyer, that's how we call it. It's beautiful. It's got the original tin ceilings. The staircase is so ornate. The windows, we're going to bring back the original wood. We've spent a lot of time. That's a lot of work to strip 15 layers of
paint. I redid my house years ago, and oh my God, the windows take forever.
Yeah.
They're so, that is, yeah. like you are not.
No.
You are underselling. I'll bet it takes like a day to do
no.
one window.
No. It takes a week maybe to do a window because those are the great big huge ones.
Okay.
There's layers. It took me some money to figure out what stripper actually works and then like their instructions versus what actually works.
Mm-hmm. There's a joke in there.
There's a lot.
Yeah. So. They're all working hard. Anyway.
So you're restoring it.
That is literally without having visual photos, you can peel back the layers and see. And already with having done the speakeasy, it kind of named itself. I was like, what are these underground tunnels? And, you know, I was Googling these keywords back in 2012 when the internet was still 2012 internet, not what it is today.
It's a different time, 100%.
Yeah.
The Wild West.
In 2012.
Well, like from 01 to like... 08. It's wild. It's still wild, but anyway.
So I found this website, Chicago Roaring in the 20s, and I was looking for anything that had to do with a bar, not even thinking about the Prohibition. And it took me to a Prohibition type of website. And so the speakeasy named itself just because of the building. The building named itself.
Right.
Which then is the foundation of the Imperial, which is so cool. So, okay, the speakeasy actually used to be – there's photos of it. There's an interior door. Okay, so if you're looking at the foyer, the stairs go upstairs. There's a door right there. And that door had a staircase that went downstairs. That was how you would get into the basement space. Back in the day, there was a sign, 1904, you could see. And it says cigars and billiards. So if they were down there shooting cigars. shooting pool, smoking cigars.
I didn't even pick up on it. I'm like, yeah, shooting cigars. Bang, bang. Look out, see? Bang, bang, bang. Look how good I am with this. I can hit this skinny little target from 10 feet away.
It's pretty interesting, though, because you hear a lot of stories about the tunnels and what they were used for. So maybe they really were Prohibition tunnels. I don't know. Wasn't there.
Yeah.
But so there's that door. We're going to reconnect. Speakeasy will connect with the foyer area. Then you walk through. There's this beautiful long hallway. On the left side of it is the Java Stop. And they're tenants.
That was included. And that's so you have that tenant and the Country Loft.
Country Loft left in August.
Gone. Right. Okay. Anyway, so then continue.
Java stops on the left. To the right, you enter into the restaurant. There's you take a right, and there's another bar on the first floor. So I'm going to operate that. You spoke. I can't see. That's why it didn't ring a bell. I have tried their juices and their shots. The
Wonder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I am doing a juice bar on the first floor.
Sweet.
I'm super excited.
And is that going to be part. Like, sorry. Where is that within? Because there was the China.
So the China Panda left in January. So there was a great big dining room, which is the one off of Main Street. Mm-hmm. That is also going to be, I'm going to put that as a dining room. That's going to be the main. It's going to have a new front entrance. We're going to go back to what it looked like previous to what it looks like now, which was its glass storefront. So it's going to just brighten that room up beautifully. Mm-hmm. I can do so because historically that's what it was. It's in that vicinity. So it's that's the lower level. There's a couple steps up. And the speakeasy awning actually is kind of blocking the windows where the juice bar and the bar is mm-hmm. on the first mm-hmm. floor.
Okay.
The awning on Main Street.
Yep.
So then behind there, there's another dining room, big old kitchen. There's an atrium. I'm really excited about the atrium, yeah. It used to be called the Imperial Skylight Lounge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a dope name.
That is super
I know,
cool.
Right?
Yeah. I want to go to the Imperial Skylight Lounge.
It's no joke. Cool.
So, I feel like I'm just going to like show up in a bomber jacket. I'm going to see like, oh, how many is here? Or it's like, you know, eighth descendant at this point. Like, oh, hey, and rub shoulders, you know, like that sort of thing.
Oh, so cool. There's so much there.
Yeah, it really is. So I've been calling it the atrium. So it goes from the first floor to the second floor to the third floor. There's a spiral staircase that goes to the second to the third. And then the roof has a skylight that's the same size as the square. That's about a 10 by 10 that goes all the way to the first floor.
Wow.
So I'm going to utilize that as well as the foyer. In the foyer, I'm going to have – I secured this 1,800 square baby grand piano, which is so ornate and decorative, and it sounds great, and it's so beautiful. So that's going to be like a little tea house. You know, we could serve tea and do little girls' birthday parties or there's so many things we could do with the foyer. So there's two common spaces, the foyer, atrium.
The Imperial Skylight Lounge.
Imperial Skylight Lounge.
I seriously hope you use that somehow. I love that. I really, that's like such a banging, like, you know, turn of the century, 1920s kind totally. Of like. Totally. I like it so, I love it. I think it's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So those will be two common areas. So you're coming in, you're getting a juice, you're getting a coffee from the Java stop, you're getting something small from the restaurant. I don't know. You could sit, get on the Wi-Fi. But then in addition to that, the second and third floor, we're going to do hotels. There's not going to be a lot of hotel. It's going to be four boutique hotels, which is basically the apartments, and then five standard rooms.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So for short-term rental or actual hospitality, what is the classification?
It's actual hospitality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's exciting.
You're
busy.
There's
also a little bodega in the first floor, too, in the back corner coming off. In the alley, there's an entrance with the old tattered green awning that was the China Pandas. So we're going to do a little store where I can sell. Now I'll have space to sell, like, all the things. There's a need for a little convenience store on Main Street.
We've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
It's going to be exciting.
It's
like a one-stop shop. The whole
all of this, like,
is
you're
like,
blowing my mind. I'm just like,
I know, it's so much. What is kind of like the, let's talk big timeline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're probably taking this in chunks, and do you have a goal for
I'm
when?
I'm making it up as I go. This has been so insanely crazy. So I was very naive at the very beginning. I think my more realistic timeline is sometime this time next year.
Wow. That's
possibly
amazing.
Later and into the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
We got a lot done. We did a lot of work already. I'm at a point now where we are putting together a fundraiser. I'm working on some financing. It's a huge project. It's way beyond anything. It came to me. I couldn't not do it. I had to.
It was like haunting you.
Well, I just thought about what was the alternative. If I said no to the purchase of the building and taking this on, right, and somebody else is buying it. And I've been there for 10 years and had these visions and just, if this were mine. But I never thought the building would go for sale. I thought they were just going to hold on to it and keep doing what it's been doing. And when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, man, my daughter's 10. I've got another 10 years of just work. And I've, like, with the speakeasy, being a renter, there's only so much you can do, you know?
Right.
So I was like, okay.
Right.
Let's do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's you got so much going on. There's so many moving pieces in there. Uh-huh. I'm excited to see a lot
of it. Yeah. How's the building's shape? How's its condition?
So one of the first things I did to do my own due diligence is I had an appraisal done. And he was just like, wow, man, he's obviously, this is what he does. He appraises buildings. And he was shocked at how strong the foundation is. It's pretty incredible that back then, you know, the speakeasy, if you take a look, if you've noticed the walls, it's these massive pieces of flagstone that are so intricately built. They're 24-inch walls of flagstone. And that is the foundation of this three-story building that was built back then. And, you know, I don't know what they had, but I can't imagine that they had the technology we have today and laying each brick. And just the structure of the building itself is really intact. Mm-hmm. There's only been a couple major hiccups where we're like, oh, okay, you know, I have a great architect. I have a great structural engineer. But until I get past this next phase of like figuring out the entirety of the financing,
mm-hmm.
We're just kind of on pause.
Are you doing any crowdfunding stuff?
So that's what we're working on. I did start a website.
Plug away.
Okay, theimperial301.com.
Theimperial301.com. We'll put it in the show notes.
So that's what I named the building.
Imperial 301?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
That's the address, 301 Main Street. I Googled, when I was trying to secure what I was going to use as a website, there are a lot of Imperial hotels across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Sure, that makes sense.
So I was like, okay. And it's more than a hotel, so how can I name this building without using the Imperial Hotels? Even in all the documents I'm calling to set up new accounts, it's still known as the Imperial Hotel. Like everywhere I've called across the board, that's its name. So I'm kind of rebranding the building with the Imperial301.com.
That's current.
Yep.
That's current.
Yeah.
That's
no.
right now.
No, that's okay. That's how I purchased it. Yeah. Okay. Nope. That's what it was when I bought it. The picture.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looks nothing like right now. It looks like bare bones. We took all the.
Still, like what we're seeing here is like.
Go somebody, to the gallery. It's so pretty.
I will go to the gallery. This is right now. It's sort of a sage green and like gold or wood. I can't tell from the picture.
It's wood.
Gorgeous, like intricate. Like everything you're saying, you go to look at this photo. I'm going to check out the gallery over here.
But the
like
atrium. It is. Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I mean, yeah, we'll do justice to this, I'm sure, over the air. But like. The structure itself looks beautiful so far.
I'm so fortunate. Yeah, because you're right. I could have bought a whole
turkey dog.
I've seen other people in their projects, and I feel so sorry for them.
Wow, this is awesome, Sarah.
I'm
so impressed with what you're taking on.
It's such a beautiful build. It has a life of its own.
Yeah, totally.
It really does.
How are you sleeping at night?
You know, I don't know, guys. I get my sleep. I have to get my sleep. It's the morning when I wake up. That sheer panic.
For you, it's in the morning.
I imagine.
I did sign up for this. Oh, it's still my life.
I imagine with the kids and the bar and all of this, that at the end of the day, there's nothing to do but sleep. Like you're probably just.
So let me define my life right now. Six kids, yes, four of which are adults.
Okay.
So that changes a lot of things.
Sure.
Then next in line, she's a senior in high school. She's prepared to go to college. She's phenomenal. I'm just so proud of that child. So I'm really almost down to one child, which is like.
For you, it's like two that are in their teens. You're like, what?
And she's so mature because she's got all adult siblings.
Right.
And she grew up in the speakeasy. I found out on my grand opening day I was pregnant with her. And I was like, what? Yeah. What kind of cruel
joke? You think I
would
have seen this coming?
Wow. I definitely encourage everyone to check out this website and look at the gallery because you're documenting
this is stunning. Like,
all
this,
your
like,
stuff that you're doing. I'm just so amazed.
There is. I mean, the intricacy of the woodwork that's going on, some of the patterns that show up, the brickwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, the paint colors, which like were super in style and have like cycled all the way back around from being like, oh dear God, to like, oh dope, like, you know.
It's all gonna change. None of it, even now, that does not look like. Wow. I've captured photos along the way, so I'm just trying
to. Great.
So much like the Cheers door.
Yeah.
I saw. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting good support from the city?
I really like the LDDA. Yeah. Has been amazing.
Yeah, that's
they're great. Yeah.
What I meant. Yeah. Yeah. Totally good. Good. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I can't say anything anymore.
I don't even know. I know. I'm just like so amazed. I'm impressed with you and what you're doing. And
so I just put together a team of throughout the years running business. I meet the most incredible people, right? With bands and comedy and just people who come through the door, my patrons. I value my patrons. So I don't even have a word for it. So I have a team of people who we are trying to figure out our next Zoom call, but we're going to put in effect a fundraiser. We're going to do 3 weekends and the first two to the public, and we're going to sell tickets and give little tours and do like hors d'oeuvres and complimentary champagne. And
sweet. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Keep us posted on that. We'll definitely let the listeners know.
And then the third one, we're going to like make it like, it's going to be a little we're still ironing out the details, so I don't want to really put my foot in my mouth. But, yeah, I'm doing that. And then you'll see on my website I do have a donate here, which would be excellent if people understood. Like if you – I myself was very naive. I knew this was going to be kind of – it's very daunting at times and overwhelming. But then at the same time, all that chaos, there's just so much gratitude. And I just feel so blessed to be able to not only like elevate the speakeasy, but the building itself. Nobody's really shown love in that building since I think the last remodel was in the 70s for my research. And to be able to, with that kind of a building, you have to continually do upgrade. Like it just starts disintegrating at a time. And
who is this?
There's a story behind this. Yeah,
what's happening in the photo?
That's a mannequin.
Oh, that's a mannequin.
That's a mannequin. Her name is Cora Faye.
Okay.
And Cora has been living in the speakeasy tunnel. There's a window of the tunnel.
Was she always wearing the skirt and the horse head mask?
The guys were being funny and they were like, let's bring her upstairs and put her in the door. But when we first got access to the door from the speakeasy staircase, so you could see down where the speakeasy is from upstairs, there's no stairs, but there's this platform, right? So they brought her up, put her there, and was scaring everybody at the speakeasy. They look up, see this chick standing there, and then take a few seconds to realize it's a mannequin, right?
I love it.
So then,
did you find it, Annie?
She came out the closet, and that bullhead was a Halloween costume.
Oh, it's a bullhead?
Yeah. Was a Halloween costume like 5 years ago, and it went missing because I used to hide it throughout the speakeasy and scare my staff. Like in the ice room, there's like a ceiling tile missing, and I like strung it up there one time and I got like three of them.
So why were you getting fired at your old jobs?
No, we have fun.
No, well, I mean,
this is going to be our
you made a representative from
episode.
What is it, the Isle of Minos? The Minotaur here with the bullhead.
That was not on purpose.
She was in the labyrinth though underneath.
Was she? I've never seen what you're talking about.
So the Minotaur is the bullhead with the man's body.
Oh,
that's the
Minotaur.
And that's a Greek, right? Greek. And that's there. That's was stuck in the labyrinth. And it was the child of somebody that had probably had relationships with it, whatever. It was, you know, old. And then that was stuck in the labyrinth. Okay. And then that was to like guard the labyrinth or whatever. I think it's the Isle of Minos, and it's the Minotaur. So the Minotaur has a bullhead.
She's guarding the Imperial.
So it'd be funny if you're like, oh, it's a labyrinth down there.
It's kind of like your avatar.
The Minotaur.
Like, you know, the female proprietor. That's what everybody says, but I love it.
That's not my intent. We were just being funny. And then we had so many people messaging, being like, what the heck, sir? You scared the crap out of me with that mannequin on the corner. So it just
– Hey.
She sat there for a minute because we were getting a lot of messages.
Any way to drum up – you know, publicity, right?
Yeah, why is there a mannequin with
there's
a bowl?
There's a minotaur came out of the labyrinth underneath the old Imperial building.
Oh my God.
She unearthed herself from the tunnel.
Yeah, there you go. Well, sorry, do some light reading about the Minotaur.
I'm going to
check it out because that's you found your own labyrinth. You found
your Minotaur. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you see. What else you got going on?
The mornings, apparently.
You only got one kid in the house.
That's right. Only one.
So, yeah, you're not really eating breakfast. You got your two cups of coffee, just, you know, texting.
A pile of worry.
No worry. I cannot worry. I worry will take over. Do not worry. If that's anything, the takeaway of this podcast.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that must be how you live because you.
It has to be. I'm working with the SBDC, and there's an incredible man who's helped me so much, and I'm still working with him. And the first time I sat with him, he was like, "So, I don't mean this as an insult in any way." He was like, "But I've never met anybody like you." He's like, "You are not going about this in the traditional form." He's like, "This is not a traditional." Like, nothing about this is traditional.
Good.
Well, sir,
I like it.
Get it done, right?
The untraditional Imperial Hotel project.
It's such a gorgeous space. I'm so excited to see you.
I know, me too. We're going to be watching your project closely and giving updates as we go along. And we'll let people know about this fundraiser because we want to for sure support you in that 100%. And see this building come back to life. This is so cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's pretty exciting. It's exciting because I think at one point this building alongside with the Dickens was like the downtown Longmont scene, right? There was a lot going on and it's just been kind of stagnant. I've been there for 10 years but I'm in the basement. It's really hard. And being a speakeasy, you kind of are supposed to be like, where's the speakeasy again? So now the whole building is just going to come to life and it's driving up either 287 or coming down 3rd. It's a beautiful space. I can't wait.
So prominent.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we wish you luck and thank you for coming on and chatting with us and making time, especially now when I hear everything you're involved with. Mm. So thank you for being here and carving it out. We appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
If you don't ever want this mannequin thing anymore, I will take it. I'll put it in my office.
It's amazing.
I'm not even
joking. Name is Cora.
Cora Faye.
Yeah, Cora Faye is a good name.
Ms. Faye?
Faye is her middle name.
My wife would kill me, but I would take that. I would honest to God, I'd put it in my office. I love it. I love it so much. Okay. We're wrapping it up. I gotta go. I want to go on another thing.
I want to keep talking, but I gotta really go.
I want to go on another tear about the Minotaur and how the labyrinth.
Can I take one more minute to say one thing I did not say? With this building being so unique and so beautiful, I have the most incredible artists that are on standby just waiting for us to get to the point. But it's going to be like Longmont's little kind of meow wolfish kind of – it's not going to be tacky or cheesy, but the art that's going to be within the building everywhere. I mean, there's all these suites, these rooms, the atrium.
Awesome.
Skylight Lounge, the restaurant, just the building itself. So that is really exciting because it's an opportunity for a lot of artists to showcase – what they're doing as well.
I'm super excited. Andy's got to go. I should probably go. I don't know. I'll find something to distract me on the way home. That's how I am.
All right. Well, we'll check in again soon on your project. We really love that you came here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And hit us up at sidedishlongmont@gmail.com. Please share the episode with your friends and definitely check out theimperial301.com for this awesome project. And we will see you next time.
Thank you.